Good morning, happy Sunday, and welcome to On the Weekend Edition. I am your host, Brian Pettaway. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We're going to be here for about an hour today. Well, like I am every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, but I'm so happy to have you with me. Hey, listen, it is less than a month away, and no, I'm not talking about the 4th of July. I'm talking about July 1st is when Maryland becomes a state where smoking weed for recreational purposes is legal. Now, I've read through the bill, HB 556 and SB 516, and I know the legal mumbo-jumbo that goes along with it. I'm going to tell you, weed smokers should read through this bill because I don't want you out here getting hemmed up thinking that everything in regards to marijuana is just a free-for-all right now, because that's not the case. There are a lot of stipulations in this bill that you need to pay attention to, right? But what I don't know about, and though I've been around family that smokes weed, I have friends that smoke weed, I've never smoked it. So I wanted to talk to a professional, a connoisseur of weed, someone who is literally in the medical marijuana profession. Like, she knows what's going on with marijuana. She can tell me the shortfalls, the pitfalls, all of the things that are great about it, and all of the medical advantages you get by smoking it. I mean, literally, she was a Maryland Medical Cannabis Provider of the Year nominee. So she knows what she's talking about. So yeah, I got the big gun today. But before we do that, there's a couple of things that I want you to know. Yes, we're going to have the Petty on too, like we do every Sunday. He's going to be with me. But before I get to him or to my guest, I wanted to tell you about my website, voiceswired.com. All of my shows are archived on that website. So if you missed a show or you just want to rehear a show, go to the website, click on the Weekend Edition tab, and all of them are chronicled by date, and just enjoy yourself. Also, I want to mention that next week, next Sunday, we are going to have the man that signed these cannabis bills into law, Governor Wes Moore. Now, he sat down with me when he was running for governor, and like he said he would, he's come back to speak with me now that he's won the governorship, and I really appreciate it. I'm going to ask him how he feels about being the governor. Does he think he's doing a good job in keeping his campaign promises? And what surprises he's run into since he's been governor? Yes, I'm going to ask him about this cannabis bill that he's put into law in the state of Maryland. I'm going to talk to him about the abortion rights bill that he signed into law in Maryland. And I'm going to ask him about crime in the state of Maryland, in particular the crimes that are going on in Baltimore, and how he plans with Brandon Scott to lessen it. What can we look forward to? So there's a lot of things we're going to discuss. Again, you can hear it next week right here on the Weekend Edition. And I suspect it'll be a very interesting chat with the governor. Can't wait. In the meantime, I want you to go to Instagram and hit me at On with Brian Pettaway. And, you know, and if you have a question that you would like me to ask the governor, send it to me. And if it's appropriate, I'll try to sneak it in there and we'll have a conversation about your question. Remember, at On with Brian Pettaway on Instagram. And, you know, just shoot me a question that you, in fact, would like to ask the governor if you had the opportunity. I'll try to ask him for you. Okay, so I really only have time for one story, and it is the hot story here in Baltimore, and it's about Tank, about Gervonta Davis. Now listen, we all know that he got something that most black men don't get in court. He got a break. He ran through a red light, crashed into another car, hurt three people in that car, one a pregnant woman, and not only did he not get out and check and make sure that they were okay, he had someone come and pick him up from that scene and left before police came. Now here's the kicker. He did all of this not having ever a valid driver's license. He went to court early this week for his sentencing. And with all of these strikes against him, he still was only really suffering a 90-day jail sentence. Now yes, he's got 6 years supervised probation, and yes, he's gonna have to do some community service. But he wasn't going to have to do any jail time. All he had to do was stay locked up in his penthouse for 90 days. So what does Gervonta do? What does Tank do? And by the way, I love Tank Davis, right? I want him to be a winner. I'm glad he represents Baltimore every time he steps in the ring. But I mean, come on. What you do? You decide that your penthouse isn't big enough for you and your security team. So you move into the Four Seasons Hotel when you've been instructed by a judge that if you leave your premises of the penthouse, you are going to jail. Well, as a result of that, Judge Handy, the original judge who ordered him to serve his sentence in home detention, has now sentenced Tank Davis to serve the rest of his 90-day sentence at the Baltimore Detention Center. The only question that I have is why. Why do we sabotage ourselves this way? When you get a break like he got, yo, you roll with that break. I don't understand it. If you understand it, if you have an opinion on it, again, hit me on Instagram at onwithbrianpettaway and tell me how you feel about this situation. Okay, as I mentioned before, we are 1 month away, less than a month away actually, from Maryland becoming a legalized state in which you can purchase and smoke marijuana recreationally. Now, again, there's a lot of stuff I don't understand about marijuana, so I brought in, like I said, the big dog, and she's going to drop some knowledge on all of us, even the weed smokers and weed connoisseurs out here who think they know all they need to know about marijuana. She's going to tell you some more. So perk up your ears, get your pens and pads out, and pay attention to not only what she says about marijuana, and no pun intended, the highs and lows of it, but we're also going to discuss some of the stipulations in this bill that can get you hemmed up if you're not paying attention. So without further ado, help me introduce a nurse practitioner who specializes in medical cannabis and veterans health, and who's been nominated for Maryland Medical Cannabis Provider of the Year. Raise your coffee cups up for Maureen Fitzpatrick. Okay, Maureen, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you feeling?
Great, thank you. All good. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad at all. Listen, I have so many questions.
Okay.
I mean, I do. I have so many questions. The first question I have, though, and I ask all of my guests this, what inspired you to get into the cannabis or dispensary business?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm a provider, first of all. I'm a healthcare provider. And I have, prior to getting into marijuana, I was working with the VA and based here in Baltimore. And I'm old, so I know about marijuana pretty much generally, and I'm not judgmental about it at all. Just the opposite. I'm open to, you know, any kind of treatment that's going to help, and I've really stayed aware of it. And I was seeing so many veterans, disabled veterans especially, veterans with PTSD, you know, all kinds of conditions. And it made sense to me that this was somebody who would benefit by using medical marijuana. Okay. Unfortunately, the VA can't engage in that because it's federal. So I felt like, gosh, what else can we do? At least I can talk to them about it.
Right.
And encourage them to consider it as an option. The goal, you know, in so many settings in the last few years has been to stop people from using opioids. And you hear all these stories about patients being just cut off. Yeah, they've been on it for years, some kind of opiate treatment for
right.
their pain.
Right.
And then, you know, there's so many features to the whole thing of treatment of pain that are a problem. You know, the worry about addiction has led to, well, compound the worry about addiction with systemic racism has led to undertreatment of pain in the Black community.
Okay.
I mean, healthcare providers just choose to not treat pain as they should, because it's always this, oh, they'll become an addict. But marijuana is such a great alternative, and it helps so much. So when I retired from that role, I have friends who have a clinic, and they opened this clinic specifically to address a vacuum in the industry, the medical marijuana industry, of people
right.
who are going to be treating this really seriously as a medical approach, and not just like walk in off the sidewalk and hear boom, 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 you're done and goodbye and never
right.
see you again. So it was really intentional to like, this is a great opportunity to help people in a way that I have not been allowed to for a long time.
So when you got into helping away from the VA, how did you do that, and what role did you play in doing it? I mean, was it fully medicinal? Like,
yeah. Well, it don't, you know, as most people in Maryland know, it only just got legalized recreationally this year,
right.
and technically July 1st is kind of the start date, but you know, whatever. Yeah, so I really chose to focus on the medical side because that's my role, and B, it's the legal thing. And I also have family who have been unfairly penalized, literally, in legal sense, for having marijuana. And marijuana is a very effective treatment for a lot of conditions. There's lots of people walking around who are self-treating their conditions with marijuana.
And have been for years, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an amazing treatment for so many things. If you don't have access to the healthcare system, or for whatever reason the healthcare system is not giving you the care you need, then there's a lot of people out there, you know, who are just using it, buying it on the street. And I felt like, well, this is really an opportunity to really directly engage in harm reduction. Okay. Help people use this in a way that's going to truly make a difference in their lives and not get them sick in the meanwhile because of all the contaminants that are out there, and et cetera, et cetera.
So if I'm a veteran, right? And if I suffered from, let's say, PTSD or chronic pain from an injury that I suffered from military service, I mean, you know, I know you said the military or the VA couldn't get involved, but how is that paid for? Is it just straight out of my pocket, or?
Yeah, out of your pocket.
Oh, wow.
You know,
okay.
As long as it's federally illegal, which it is, you know, it's still on the federal level.
Right.
Completely, you know, a Schedule I drug, which by definition has no medical value and always causes side effects. Both of those are false. The whole narrative was set many decades ago.
Yeah,
and so everything's out of pocket. And insurance doesn't cover it. It's all out of pocket. So
okay.
that's a whole nother burden, which, you know, people struggle with.
Certainly. I'm sure that they do. So I want to talk about Bills 556 and 516, which is, you know, legalizing it for recreational use in the state. And that happens, like you said, July 1st. And apparently, as long as you're over the age of 21 and you can provide a government ID, you're able to purchase it at that point. How does that affect you? Like, what will you do in that situation?
A lot of people are asking that question, and they ask us that question. Do I even need to bother with this anymore? And it's affected our business recently, because there's a lot of folks out there who don't see the point of going and getting the medical card.
Right.
However, there's a lot of advantages to having a medical card. First of all, the most obvious thing is that people who are buying for recreational purposes are going to have to pay a 9% sales tax. Medical people will not be paying any kind of sales tax. So the same product, you know, you can buy the exact same product. It's going to have 9% on it for the recreational users. And then there's probably going to be some variation in what's available to the recreational users. It might not be everything they want. And they're also, the state's working on ways to make it kind of more available to the medical people, like prioritizing medical people over the recreationals. So, like, they're talking about a lot of different schemes with that, like maybe have a thing where certain days or certain hours only medical people are going to be dealt with, you know, taken in. And if you show up during those hours in your recreational, sorry, come back later. That's one thing that's been bounced around. And then also there's this thing that I've heard about over the years from patients. Oh, I tested positive on the P test at work.
Right, right.
My employer says, if I have a medical card, that's okay. But if I don't, it's not. So there's some people are going to want to have that to make it legit for their job setting.
Right.
That's kind of a silly distinction in some ways, because really the liability is
why would
it matter? But, you know, it's a liability issue, like their insurance.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's crazy because so many things are about to change. You know, there are, I guess, laws have been established around this bill. You know, like, you, after July 1st, you can actually have two marijuana plants in your home, and you can grow and cultivate them as long as they're out of public view.
But you can have four if you're a medical user.
Ah.
That's right. So that two plants doesn't seem like much, right? You know, like, you know, things can happen to plants. They can just suddenly get sick and die, you know?
Right.
And so four plants is for the medical side. Evidently, they're just going to make it more strict for the recreational people.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's that. I think the biggest feature of the recreational legalization is the fact that so many folks are going to have their records expunged. They're going to be able to get their records expunged.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. They've already announced that.
Really?
And yeah, that's huge. Because look at, like, just some young guy who lives in my neighborhood, who, you know, he's been arrested for a minor amount of pot, but it's on his record forever.
Right. Right.
And sometimes you can get that expunged anyway, depending on how you were treated in court. My son is a white kid.
Right.
So he was able to get everything expunged. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. And then so many of my patients, they weren't able to do that.
Wow.
Because the court deals with them differently. We know that's real. You know? So
you're talking about your black patients, is what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I live in the city. I live in Baltimore City. So, and I've lived here for a long, long time.
Right.
These are my patients. These are my neighbors. These are my friends. These are my family. These are my family members. So it's hard not to be tuned into that.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you are. I mean, I really am. And that you're not afraid to, you know, to talk about it. The other thing I wanted to
like, you know, how much can I say that, you know, is gonna, like, if I say something inappropriate, you know,
no, you say what you want to say. Say what you
want to
say.
Some people find it inappropriate, you know, but it's you never know.
No fear here. Say exactly what's on your mind. There is a weed lounge opening up in, I think it's in Burtonsville, called Sealin.
Cool.
And I did a story on it a few shows ago, and it struck me as kind of funny, honestly, because they have a limit as to when you have to stop smoking weed. So before you leave there, you have to have stopped smoking 2 hours prior to you leaving.
Oh, you have to, like, sit around for 2 hours
Yeah.
before they'll let you out the door?
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's funny to me. But I guess my question is who's monitoring that? How do you monitor who's high when they leave if everyone's tolerance isn't the same?
Well, 2 hours is like, you know, okay, that just, we can say that you, here's why 2 hours. Because smoking marijuana, the effect, more or less, the average effect lasts for about 90 minutes.
Okay.
Give or take. It could be a little more, a little less, but 90 minutes is the average. So 2 hours, they're able to say, oh yeah, all the research shows that it's worn off after 2 hours.
Okay, so it's not
bartenders who are saying, okay, dude, you know, we're cutting you off because you're drunk. It's equivalent to that, if that's what they're going to set a rule like that. I mean, it makes some sense. I don't know how they'll enforce it. It's a little.
Yeah, I don't know how either. You know.
I don't think somebody. I don't know. I have no idea. How would that work if you're like, no, you can't leave. Wait a minute, I'm being abducted.
Right.
Know? I don't know.
Right now,
the
only persons that are using that lounge are obviously those that have a medical card, right?
Uh-huh.
And they've been using it for like the last 2 months when it opened, last 3 months when it opened. But after July 1st, everyone's going to be able to use it.
Theoretically, everybody could go in. Anybody could go in there. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, which product they've purchased at a dispensary, I think. That's probably one of the rules.
Yeah, they don't sell it. They don't sell it on grounds.
Right. And you can't bring street pot in, I assume, because they don't want that liability.
Right.
You know?
Right. So it's going to be
sick on their premises. They don't want to take responsibility for that. Mm.
But I think it's so much of a liability. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I wonder what kind of insurance that this person pays.
I heard that there's going to be something similar in Fells Point, but I don't know how that's, whether it's progressed or not. I haven't heard anything further.
Okay.
You're right, though. I don't know how they're going to manage all that. It's going to be interesting.
So do you think the dispensary will eliminate, well, not eliminate, But do you think it'll drive the price of street pot down? Or do you think it'll drive the price of street pot up?
You know, street pot is already, my understanding from people I've talked to, street pot is already cheaper than what you can buy at the dispensary.
Okay.
There's a lot of reasons for why the dispensary stuff is a little more expensive. I've been to one of the grow/manufacturing facilities for a tour to really understand that, how it all happens. And there's a lot involved. And the law says that everything they produce has to be evaluated by an independent lab. And that's not cheap. So the good news is, you know this is clean, this is nothing, there's no contaminants, there's no mold or yeast or any stuff growing in it. It's going to be 100% reliably clean.
Okay.
Whereas the stuff you buy in the street, who knows? You don't really know.
Right.
And people will say to me, my dealer says it's, you know, he told me where it gets. And I'm like, let me just clarify that you're trusting a drug dealer. I mean, okay, you know, some people can, you know, like, oh, he's actually the grower. Is it organic? Is it, what kind of pesticides are they using? You know, who knows? So it's kind of like the idea being what you're getting in the dispensaries is very safe.
Okay.
So that's why it's more expensive. And so I know some people will just say, why bother? This is too expensive. I'm going to buy it from my guy. Okay. That's fine. You know, if that's what you want to do, you might still want to have your car just to avoid hassles from cops. And now theoretically that's not even going to be an issue. It's a non-starter. I think there's a limit to how much you can have on you.
There is.
If they stop you and you have it on you, but still, I guess cops are going to hassle you no matter what. If they want to, they'll find an excuse. But still, that's just one thing.
Right.
Well, makes it a little easier.
In addition to making it legal for recreational use, cops are no longer able to stop you just because they smell marijuana.
Right. That's no longer going to float. They're going to have to come up with some other nonsense.
Right.
To justify their inappropriate search and seizures.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had a friend that was at a festival on the shore, and she set up her booth, and she sells paparazzi jewelry, right? And she said that midway through the festival, like all these guys walking down the street, and they were smoking marijuana. It was so strong that they had to pack up and leave, right?
Oh my gosh, it was that bad, yeah.
And not only them, but other vendors did as well. And mm-hmm. She said one of the reasons was because her sister, I guess, just couldn't stand the smell, right? And they were getting, she felt like she was getting a contact, right? So.
Yeah. Oh, that's real, yeah.
What is the law about smoking in public places or indoors or outdoors,
well,
do you know?
Honestly, I'm not an expert on that. I do know that up until July 1st, it's not allowed in public places. But on the other hand, you know, in Baltimore, and I think Maryland generally, but especially Baltimore, they just said, okay, we're decriminalizing this.
Right.
So why bother? And
right.
So I will see that. I see people walking around in the open just smoking, and they, you know, they kind of like, yeah, go ahead, stop me. Kind of, it's young, you know, it's always young guys.
Right.
It's always young guys just like, look at me. So there's that. But now going forward, as of July 1st, I don't know if they're restricting that. I don't think they're restricting that. I mean, I don't know.
That's crazy. That's crazy because if I have a federal job or if I have a job where they test me randomly and I was just out somewhere with, you know, with my significant other, and if they're smoking and it gets in her hair follicles, or you know what I'm saying, they test her on Monday.
You smell like it. Everybody smells
right.
Like it. Everybody around the, yeah.
How long does it stay in your system?
Well, depending on how much and how frequently you smoke, it can be more than a month.
Right.
Or, you know, if you only have like maybe, okay, this is the first time I ever smoked marijuana or consumed marijuana. Let me put it that way. I think it's like a few days. But if you use on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I have a patient that happened to where she had a surgery and she didn't want to do opiates post-surgically. It was going to be a very painful recovery. She knew this. It was a surgery that would, you know, the surgeon said, this one's really painful. You know, you got to be serious about sticking with taking your pain meds. And she didn't want to do that. So she tried using marijuana and that was very successful for her. 3 weeks of use. And so she waited 3 weeks later before getting a P test for a new job and she was still positive.
Wow.
And she wasn't using anymore and she hadn't used prior to that. So that's, you know, that's a thing. People still have, like I, when I was working for the VA, I couldn't use it either.
Right.
Now, was I really likely to be P tested? That's another question. No, I wasn't, but they hold that over your head. And bear in mind, if they saw a problem in your particular unit, they would P-test the whole unit because they don't want the person they're looking at to be tipped off. So they'll just say, okay, everybody in the unit today is going to have to submit to a P-test. So that could happen any time.
Right.
You never know. You know, if you, as a veteran, you know how they hold that stuff over your head.
Oh, yeah. When I was in, we got piss tested like randomly all the time. So you never knew it when it was coming. So you just didn't, you know, you didn't roll the dice. I don't smoke anyway, but you know, a lot of my friends did and do, and they just didn't roll the dice when we were in service.
You know? Yeah. It's kind of dicey. Are they going to throw a guy out? It was, you know, just because he tested positive or they just, I don't know. How does that work? Like,
well, in my unit, if you asked, so if you, before the test was conducted, if you asked for help for some type of addiction that you had, they wouldn't test you. You just go for that help, and then you come back after, you know, after a certain amount of time, right?
Well, that's like saying I have a problem that needs treatment. It's like, no, man, I was just smoking a little pot, you know?
Right.
I mean, the same way somebody's going to drink a bunch of beer or something.
Right.
So, unfortunately, though, that is, so that you have to like acknowledge it and it has to be on. Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, and it goes into your permanent file. So.
Yeah.
But you're not punished criminally for it. Like you're not kicked out of the unit. Yeah. Right.
It stays in the system, but it's still on your record. So they could use that later if they wanted to for some other reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. What do you think the chances are that they're going to, make it not a problem for people who don't have a marijuana medical card at work?
So, yeah, it's entirely up to the employer how they want to treat this. There's no real protections for people at work. And until the federal government addresses the issue on a federal level, that's not likely to change. The problem with the federal government situation is that it's considered, as we said earlier, a Schedule I drug. And are they going to reschedule it to, you know, a lower number? Or by that, I mean, a Schedule IV is,
right,
a less intense drug, a drug that has no, you know, concerns, no reason to monitor or control it. Or are they going to deschedule it and take it off the schedule altogether and just not have it be there on the schedule, which I think is the best way to go because every state is doing their own thing. And if it's a scheduled drug at all, then it has to go through all kinds of research by somebody. And
right.
All that has to be submitted to the FDA. And yeah, that's a whole process.
Well, the thinking is that marijuana is a gateway drug.
And the research shows just the opposite.
Right. But that's, yeah, all that's been the traditional thinking.
That's the narrative. Yep.
So I'm just trying to figure out if they'll ever get on board with legalizing it federally, you know? And if it doesn't, if they did that, even if they just did that for veterans, right, who had a medical card, it would help with the insurance. I can't imagine how it hurts their pockets, you know what I'm saying,
absolutely.
To purchase it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. I think, you know, I think the feds will eventually get over themselves on this. But I think part of that is let's elect a president and people in Congress, senators and congresswomen, who aren't old. We need to get some younger people in there.
Right.
And that's not it. That's not entirely the message either. I mean, you know, there's young people who have backwards view about this. And it is backwards because there's no data to back up the gateway drug claim. They don't have any data. It's just not true. And clinically, I can tell you from my experience, I have patients who have gotten off of opiates by using medical marijuana.
Wow,
as a treatment that has helped them with that process.
So
it's kind of just the opposite of that, you know?
So let's talk gummies.
In terms of medical use, generally speaking, I advise against smoking, period. That's the end of that whole paragraph.
Okay.
There's certain circumstances where that might be an appropriate approach, but that's mostly for getting high. Smoking is mostly for people who just want to party with it, you know, and
right.
That's fine. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's not a medical use. Medically speaking, there's rare times when people would want to maybe have vape pens handy because you want to have something handy for emergencies if you are someone who suffers from seizures or migraines.
Right.
And that's where, you know, you could quick pull out a vape pen and say, okay, I'm going to duck into the restroom and just, you know, do something to treat this before it gets out of hand. We know that it's very effective for migraines and for seizures. So there's that. But mostly you want to treat your conditions with something that's long acting. I tell people to think of it as a daily vitamin, especially the CBD portion, which is the most significant thing to treat anxiety, by the way. A lot of people think, oh, yeah, this treats my anxiety. It's the CBD that's treating your anxiety entirely, the CBD, not the THC at all. Does nothing. THC treats a lot of things, but not anxiety. So you want something that's going to be like 24/7. You have a condition that deserves to be managed. So in the same way people might take vitamin D or lots of other things, just being able to take an edible like a gummy or my preference is the sublingual tinctures where you just it's a little bottle. You take a little baby dropper full and put it under your tongue and let it sit there, which avoids the whole GI thing because going through the GI tract, you have a lot of waste. A lot of stuff doesn't get absorbed.
Okay.
Lots and lots of the active ingredients just go into the toilet. So tinctures, that's not true because you're not swallowing a tincture. You're putting it under your tongue and letting it sit there and it gets absorbed into your bloodstream directly. That's a great way to go. It ends up costing less in the long run. Gummies are expensive. They're very labor intensive to make. So yeah, I offer lots of advice on saving money for people who are using this. But smoking, where it's interesting is where people want to buy flour. A lot of people are getting into cooking their own butters and that turns it into an edible. So, okay that's cool. But if you're just smoking it, you get 90 minutes of relief, and then you've got a refractory period where no matter what you do, nothing's going to – you could smoke right again after 90 minutes. It's not going to really make a difference. You know, half an hour or so, whatever, you got to wait before it's going to – and so all day long, you're on a roller coaster.
Wow.
And if you have anxiety disorder, you don't need to be on a roller coaster with your treatment.
Okay.
You know?
What is the detriment to smoking? Like if you're not doing it for medical purposes – which is going to be happening here, like we said, July 1st. What's a detriment to smoking marijuana?
Well, the obvious one is lung damage. It's very irritating to your esophagus, your lungs, and that's not good. One of the things that causes cancer is unchecked inflammation. So if you have an area that's being inflamed constantly, And the lungs are really sensitive.
Right.
Then that can lead to cancer. Also, vaping, there's research that shows that it deposits heavy metals into people's lungs.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's never good.
Okay.
So you just don't want to mess up your lungs or your throat. And if you could vaporize. They make these high-end vaporizers that, like, you know, maybe people who have severe asthma have to have nebulized medicines. And so they have basically the equivalent kind of machine and it's nebulized marijuana, which is wonderful for people, for example, who are on hospice.
Right.
Who don't want to eat anything, even just having something in their mouth might not be appropriate, but they can vaporize it and inhale it without it causing any irritation or damage.
Oh, wow.
So that's
okay.
A thing. Yeah. That's a nice thing.
So there's no truth to the it slows your reflexes thing, or it messes up your brain cells, or none of that long lasting effect stuff.
Well, yeah, there's actually some truth to that. If you are a frequent, persistent user, it does seem to have an impact on memory. I think that's one of the big concerns about having young people using it, like teenagers.
Right.
Using it, because the theory is, and I think there's some data to back it up, that it can impair your brain and you'll lose a few IQ points. If you have a lot of IQ points to start with, that who cares, right? You know? but if you don't necessarily, then, you know, every point counts. Yeah. So that's a thing. That's a thing.
Yeah.
I think moderate use is, in terms of, if you're going to use it recreationally, it shouldn't be every day. If you're using it every day, then you probably have another problem that you are self-medicating for.
Yeah, and that's the concern.
And that's all right.
That's the concern.
All right, you know.
People who are using it every day now, who are doing it illegally, and it's, mm-hmm. there's a lot. There is mm-hmm. a lot, right?
Yep.
Once they get the green light to do it in this state legally, I'm concerned about who's on the road. Right? If the reflexes are slower.
That's a good point. I mean, yes, because the traffic data coming out of places like Colorado shows that there are more accidents. I mean, here's the thing. It's not like it makes you completely stupid like alcohol would.
Right.
But it does slow your reflexes. And when you think about how it is driving these days, I might say to myself, well, I'm a safe driver, but I need to have quick reflexes because there's a lot of crazy people driving out there who are doing things that are really scary. You know, I see it all the time. People just blowing red lights all the time. And you got to be able to react quickly to a lot of this stuff.
Right.
So that's a concern. And that's why they say don't drive under the influence. Well, that's that 2-hour thing that the smoking lounge, marijuana lounge would be concerned about. Like, did somebody leave and then have an accident?
Right.
So, we kept him here for 2 hours. That's not our fault.
Yeah, but these young 21 and 22 and 23-year-old guys, they're not going to wait 2 hours. They might be doing it while they're driving. Well, they do do it while they're driving now.
They do, absolutely.
You know, sometimes I'm in traffic with the windows down and I can smell it from the car in front of me or behind me. You know what I mean? So I know they're doing it now. But once they get the green light, I really am. I really am concerned about, who's on the road and how that's going to be monitored, because cops can't stop you just from the smell of it, which I think is insane. But
no, they'd have to wait for you to do something stupid, like make turn left on a one-way street, whatever, you know, do something or run a red light or whatever. And by that time, you know, has anybody been killed? I don't know. That's a concern. That's a real concern.
So a normal day for you is what? Because you say you're a producer to dispensaries, right?
A provider.
Provider to dispensaries.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And how does that work?
I'm a nurse practitioner, and I see patients who either want to get certified for the first time or they're renewing, because you have to renew every year. You're registered with the state, but the certificate that you get from the healthcare provider is kind of equivalent to a prescription. So every year you have to come back and get it renewed. And I see patients who, they come back and they say, wow, this is really helping me. My back pain is so much easier to manage. I'm able to get sleep at night. No problems, no side effects. I haven't had any other health issues going on. And that's pretty straightforward. And then sometimes I see patients who come back and say, you know, this isn't working as well as I thought it would. And then I get into, well, what are you using and how are you using it? And let's talk about some other techniques.
Right.
Some things that might work better for you. And that's the biggest, that's the most important part. I tried to do a lot of education. That's really why we decided to have a clinic in the first place, to give people the education they need to use it to the best effect.
Okay.
You know, I had a patient recently. Well, I will just say that she was pregnant, and she acknowledged to me that she was pregnant. And so I said, well, you know, I had seen her a year before. And I said, you know, you're not allowed to, you should never use this while you're pregnant, because there is evidence that it could cause birth defects.
Okay.
There's people on social media who will tell you that's not true, and they're just wrong. And there's no discussion on that one. I mean, they have no data to back up what they're saying. And I have tons of studies that can show the opposite. So she said, oh, well, I know. I only use it occasionally when I have really bad migraine. And I'm kind of going, I'm sorry, that doesn't matter. You need to go see your provider for, you know, your OBGYN, right, and talk to them about treatment for your migraines, but don't use marijuana. Well, okay, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can't certify you while you're pregnant.
Right, right.
She was pretty angry, and I learned later, because we can look this up, that she went to someone else and got certified.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And I thought, well, what am I going to do here? Am I going to go contact that other provider and say, by the way, did you know your patient is pregnant? Am I crossing boundaries with that?
I don't know. I mean, there's the doctor-patient confidentiality thing going on, but is it confidential to not share it with another doctor? Like, is it breaking, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's not. I mean, if there's a reason that is medically pertinent for two providers, continuity of care kind of thing. And I looked up this person and wasn't able to find any contact information when I looked. And I thought, well, okay, I'm just, you know what, that's that. 'Cause people who are actually in the system, I should be able to look up, but, you know, there's a lot of providers who go in and then decide, nah, after a couple of months, nah, I don't want to do this, and then they go out of it.
Right. Right.
That happens.
Well, I got one more question for you, and and you know, time's gotten away from us. So I don't know why it's so fascinating to me, because I don't even smoke, like I said, but it is, and it's a little concerning to me. Sounding like an old fogey, I'm sure, but it's a little concerning to me.
There's safety issues. It's appropriate to be concerned.
Right. So the other question that I have for you is, since you've been doing this, how long have you been in this field, this profession?
Four years in this particular, in the marijuana piece, but then I've been a nurse practitioner for, it's almost 25 years now.
Okay. Well, since you've been in the nursing profession, but especially in the nurse practitioner profession, in this role, have you seen any serious side effects or death from using marijuana?
No deaths. In fact, I think it'd be hard to find any information about anybody dying of it, but I have seen a couple of patients with serious side effects. There's very few serious side effects. And the only one I know of, a few conditions, but the only one I've seen is a couple of patients I've had with something called cannabis hyperemesis syndrome. And basically, that's people who vomit every time they eat, and it's entirely due to THC.
Wow.
We don't know why this happens to those people. We just don't know. And the only way to deal with it is to stop using THC altogether. I mean, they can reintroduce it later. They can stop and then go back later. No, still happens. So there's something about certain people that causes them to react kind of in reverse to what you'd expect.
Wow.
Because marijuana often can help people with nausea and vomiting. But there's just this subgroup of people, and it's a relatively small number. You don't see it a lot. In fact, most healthcare providers don't even know about this condition. Emergency room doctors know about it.
Okay.
Because that's what happens. People like, oh my God, I've been vomiting for days. And they go to the emergency room. Every time I eat, I vomit. You know, and it turns out they're routine smokers of marijuana. Generally right. speaking, they're smoking. That's a thing. And I've seen it a couple times.
Okay.
But other than that, no, people don't die. People don't get severely ill from this.
Okay. Okay.
I can tell you about a couple other conditions I've heard of, but they're very extremely rare.
Okay.
Just very, very, very rare.
Interesting, interesting. Well, listen, Maureen, I appreciate you so much for coming on today. You are now officially a member of the 1500 family, and I may be calling you back, especially after July 1.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we'll talk again. We'll talk again when we have some more, like, wow, how is it going?
How did it go? Yeah, exactly, exactly.
What are you seeing? What am I seeing? Yeah.
Thank you so much, though, okay?
You're welcome. It's been a delight to talk to you.
My pleasure, absolutely. You take care of yourself.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I know you hear that music, and it can only mean one thing. It's time to give the Petty a call. So let's call him up and see what he's got for us today.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother B. How are you?
I'm good, Petty. What's going on with you, big guy?
I'm just feeling great this Sunday morning.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, well, listen, real quick, happy belated birthday. You feeling any older?
Not really. Only when I wake up in the morning, I feel like, you know, I sit on the edge of bed, and I feel like an old Buick starting to warm up. I got to, you know, get the engine running. But thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No worries, no worries. A little birdie told me that you might, like you do every year for the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, you might be at the Jazz Fest this weekend. Is that the case?
Yes, I am. I have returned back to Maryland again, twice in 1 week, and I am here.
You may as well just move on back down. I know you're going to be
not doing that.
I know you're going to be a Ravens fan soon.
I'm going to talk about that in a second. But no, I come here every year. I am back here at the Capitol Jazz Fest here in Columbia, Maryland, where I once resided for several years. And it's a beautiful day. It was a beautiful night last night. It was a beautiful night Friday night. And I'm just having the time of my life. I'm just loving it down here.
Awesome.
But look, let's get into this thing real quick.
Okay, okay.
Like I said, this is my second time down here in less than a week. And I was here on Monday to see those high-flying birds, and they laid a big goose egg against the Cleveland Guardians.
What?
Out of all teams, the Guardians.
Yeah, well, you know, honestly, I saw the Nats earlier this year. They played the Guardians, and the Guardians beat the brakes off of them, too. So I don't know if they're bums, you know what I mean?
No, they'll always be. Listen, every team to me in Cleveland are a bunch of bums. I'm talking about the Guardians. I'm talking about the Browns. I'm talking about the Cavaliers. They're a bunch of bums to me, period. I feel the same way about Cleveland teams as I feel about Boston teams.
Okay.
But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about those high-flying O's who still boast the second-best record in baseball despite laying that horrible goose egg on Monday afternoon.
Okay.
And I have to say this. For a team that's red hot, I was highly disappointed when I looked around and I saw so many empty seats there in Camden Yards.
Yeah, but I don't know if you can blame that on the birds or and the fans. Wasn't it raining that day or wasn't it projected to rain that day?
It was a beautiful day. It was nice. The weather was fine. It was a little overcast, but it was a great day for baseball.
Okay.
I enjoyed myself. It was nice being down back at the yard again. I'm pretty sure I'll make the trip down again to see them play. And speaking of coming back to Maryland and donning that purple, gold, and black, as I've always said, never more. But I did buy an Oreo jersey, and I will proudly wear that because I love those high-flying O's. Can't stand those bum bird Ravens.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Well, let's switch gears real quick. Let's talk about Florida. Like I said, Florida is red hot. They are hot. We're talking about the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Finals. We're talking about the Miami Heat, who unfortunately lost to the Denver Nuggets in Game 1. They're in the NBA Finals.
Right.
And, of course, we're talking about
the Rays.
Those Tampa Bay Rays, who are just tearing it up in the majors. I have a feeling that we will see them in the World Series this year.
I have not watched one of their games. I have not.
Man, let me tell you something. They put together a real fine team. And I think it starts with the pitching. The pitching has been fantastic.
Okay.
The hitting has been timely. That team is well put together. I'm telling you something right now, Brother B. When the Orioles play the Rays, that's going to be one heck of a series.
Right.
Something to look forward to this summer.
I might go to one of those games.
If the time is right, I might have to come down and check it out myself. Because
okay.
I remember I saw them play last year, and the Orioles just absolutely shut them out, and I don't think that's going to happen this year.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Do you know we're only 100 days away from the start of the NFL season, and I just can't wait. And speaking of football, the XFL continues to send players to the NFL.
Really?
More players are trying out for NFL teams. More players are starting to sign one-year contracts, four-year contracts. Maybe that's something to look forward to next season if the XFL returns. They had a little financial problems,
right,
but
right.
Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, who's part owner of the league, says that the XFL will return next year.
Okay.
USFL's not too much to talk about. Those teams are just knocking each other off left and right. No one has emerged as the front runner to be the champ. So we have to just keep an eye out on that and see who rises to the top in the next coming weeks. We have a couple of weeks left, so we're going to see what happens over these next couple of weeks to find out who will be the power in the USFL.
Right.
Finally, I mentioned this several weeks ago, and I said, you heard it here first, the A's, the Oakland A's, will probably become the Vegas A's, are exploring places to build the stadium in Las Vegas.
Okay. So, all right. Well, you know it's going to be glitzy.
Will be coming true that there will no longer be baseball in Oakland, California. They're going to follow those Raiders and move out to Vegas.
Are you going to follow those Raiders and move out to Vegas?
Look, the only team I follow out in Vegas are those Golden Knights. I like those guys. Man, I'm telling you, that Stanley Cup Finals between the Panthers from Florida, who are super duper hot because they knocked off the Boston Bruins,
right,
the number one seed in the NHL. So that team is blazing.
Right.
And I like those Golden Knights. Fifth year in the league, second Stanley Cup. You got to love it. You really got to love it.
Listen, I could get into hockey if I go to a hockey game, but I can't watch it on TV. The last time I watched a hockey game all the way through on TV is when Fox had it, and it had a little tail, the blue tail on the puck, and you could follow the puck. But since then, I have not watched a hockey game. Their coverage of hockey was fantastic. They had cameras everywhere. They had a blue tail on the puck, so you could follow the puck. But since they've not been covering it, I don't watch it at all.
Well, I'm telling you, I watched it. I like it. It's been exciting. I watched the Golden Knight playoff game. That was fantastic. They were down, and the last couple of seconds, they scored. They tied it up. They took them to overtime, and in less than a minute overtime, they won the game. I'm telling you, you got to love those Golden Knights from Vegas. You got to love them.
Right.
This Stanley Cup series is probably going to be one of the better ones, and it's starting up, and I'm telling you, Brother B, man, it's something you might want to watch.
I want to ask you a question, man. I want to ask you a question. You know, Ovechkin is going for Gretzky's record, scoring record. And they're projecting he's going to need another 2 years in which to do it, right? Even if he plays his best hockey. But his hockey is declining. His hockey skills have declined. His speed on the ice has declined. How do you feel about guys like LeBron and Ovechkin staying in the game just to raise their stats?
I don't like the idea that they do stay in game that long to pad their stats. What I do like is that if they still have that skill set to get it done, then go ahead and play. If they're just padding their stats, then it's time to walk away. But if they still can get it done, if they still can help some young players come along, then I don't have a problem with it.
Right. Well, you know, I look at...
And records are made to be broken. So, you know, go ahead, Alex, do your thing. Keep on skating. If you can still go ahead and skate on the ice and score those goals and play at a higher level than some of the other players, knock yourself out, man. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I think of players like Iverson and Jordan, who were never swept in the playoffs. Iverson took a whole team and put it on his back to make sure he wasn't swept against the Lakers, and they were mightily overmatched, right? And then I look at LeBron. People call him the GOAT, and I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, his stats are way up there. But you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you get swept, you know?
Because, you know, basketball is a team sport. It's not just one guy.
Right.
And if you want to be the GOAT, if you want to be called that man and have that title, you have to make the other players around you better. And you can never quit on your team.
Right.
And the reason why I say that, because I've seen LeBron quit on his teams in Los Angeles, in Miami, and in Cleveland. You can't quit on your team. You want to be the GOAT, you put them on your back, and you take them to that chip, or you take them to another level. I've seen it here in Philadelphia, where Joel Embiid, who's supposed to be the MVP, he couldn't put the team on his back and say, hey, we're winning this thing. And that's why they're sitting at home in the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals.
Right, right. Who do you think is going to win this final?
I think Denver's going to win. I think the Nuggets will get their first NBA title. And I like Miami. I really do. But I just think they're a little overmatched this time.
Yeah.
I think Miami has met their match. I'm really thinking that Denver will win the NBA Finals. Listen, Brother B, I got to go.
I got to get out here to Symphony Woods
and listen to that music, man. I'm trying to tell you, you got to go to one of these things. You're going to love it. I love being down here in Maryland for that. I love being down here to see those high-flying O's. And really, that's about it. Because when it comes to those Bumber Ravens, I'm not coming to see them play. I'm not spending my money. I'm not wasting my money. Look, I got to go, Brother B. Peace.
All right, peace, brother. Peace. All right, that was the Petty. Always great to hear from him, and I'm so happy that he's getting an opportunity to do what he has done probably for the last 20 years or more. I know it's been at least 20 years that he goes to these Jazz Fests. And rain or shine, my brother is there. I mean, he's there. He supports the Jazz Fest down in Columbia at Merriweather every single year, and I'm glad that he has an opportunity again to do it this year. Football and smooth jazz, those are his first loves. I also enjoyed talking to my guest, Maureen Fitzpatrick. She dropped a lot of knowledge on us today, and I hope that those persons that do smoke marijuana were paying attention. Because yes, come July 1st, you can purchase and smoke marijuana recreationally, but it doesn't mean, like I said before, it's going to be a free-for-all. There are definitely rules and stipulations and guidelines and restrictions as it pertains to smoking marijuana. So please, 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 be proactive and do your research. Please Google bills HB 556 and SB 516. Knowing the law will be your best friend as a marijuana smoker in the state of Maryland. Just telling you. Also, I want to mention one more time that I'll have Governor Wes Moore here next Sunday. He's going to sit down with me and talk about a myriad of things. And I will have a lot of questions for him. But what I'd like you to do is hit me up on IG at On with Brian Pettaway. And throw some questions to me that you would ask the governor if you were sitting in front of him. And again, if the questions are appropriate, I'll say it again, if they are appropriate questions, I will try to slip one in on them and, have him answer the question for you. Also, a little quiz for you. For those of you who have gone to see The Little Mermaid, tell me what's missing out of The Little Mermaid that black people should be aware of. And for those who are going to see The Little Mermaid, also pay attention to what you see on the screen. Next week, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm talking about, and you can agree or disagree, but it's just a fact, and I want to see how many people can chime in and see what they see. Hit me again on IG, at On with Brian Pettaway. I got to go. Got a lot of stuff to do today. It's been one hell of a week, but I am glad that I made it through it. You guys have an amazing day. Do nothing today. Just relax. Chill out, right? Do nothing, but like I say every week to you, the best thing about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. So tomorrow, stop doing nothing, wake up, conquer the day, conquer the week, and be a better person this week than you were last week. You guys have a great week. I got to run. I got to get out of here. Peace and love, people.